Church Seekers Sunday School class, have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? The Lord will bless you for it. And Brother Melvin said, I get more out of reading the Bible than listening to people trying to explain it. So I'd go ahead and read it for myself. Brother Garth, you want to pray for us? Well, Sister Trist is getting ready. Go ahead and open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. One day something Yes, that's what happened. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us, God. I done ruined my name and just about ruined my family's name. God, thank you for passing by my way, cleaning up my heart and opening my eyes. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we've been... anybody got anything to say? We've been looking at the book of Revelation, trying to introduce it, trying to get started. We won't get it done today. We're just working on it. We're having fun. Last week we saw, let me ask you this, how many revelations are there? One is right. Whose is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. We saw it's right in the beginning. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we looked last week, and I'll never get it all told. I try to tell it, but after Sunday school was over last week, someone showed me another one. Brother Matt had counted 75 over here, and now there's 76. I'll miss something today. There's probably more than that. I just want to go ahead and say he's big. It belongs to him. It's his. Well, let me ask you this. Who wrote it? God wrote it. That's right. What did he do with it? Let's read it. It's in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, who wrote it? God wrote it. That's right. What did he do with it? Who did he give it to? He gave it to the Son. What did he do with it? Who did he give it to? He gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? He gave it to John. What did John do with it? He gave it to us. He gave it to the seven churches. It's in verse 11. Let me read that again. Verse 1. See if you see this as I read it. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Then verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, John saw the book. John saw it. What do you see? Anyway. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. John gave it to the churches. He gave it. The churches gave it to me. We are the church. Now I am the church, part of it. You're part of it. He gave it to us. Okay, you're all doing good. Now, what verse did we get our outline out of for the book? That's right, verse 19. Let's look at it. Write the things which thou hast seen. What period of time is that? What chapter goes with that? Oh, how about the past? Hast seen? That's in the past, isn't it? What chapter goes with that? Chapter 1 is right, Sister Patsy. That's right. Okay, well, and the things which are, what period of time would that be? That's present tense. That's right. And what chapters go with that? For the church, that's for the churches. What chapter? 2 and 3 is right. And then the things which shall be hereafter, what period of time is that? 4 on is right, and that's the future. Good, Brother Tim, great. Oh, we're doing great. Now, we haven't talked about this yet, but there's two main things. I did say there wasn't a lot to obey, but in verse 3, we were commanded to keep the book. Mainly, it's going to be hold on to it. If you remember, if you look up the word obedience, the first 13 definitions, like 30 definitions, the first 13 are to guard, to keep, to hold on to. And that's what the Lord's telling us here. I need to hold on to the book. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not very good at obeying it. But I think I can hold on to it. I think I can. I think He'll let me do it. So I need to accept His plan. And then in chapter 1, we already saw we're going to adore His person. Two main themes through the book. I'm going to ask you next week now. What's the two themes? Number 1, we're going to adore His person. And number 2, we're going to accept His plan. I agree with it. I'm glad he wrote it down this way. I'm glad to know that I'm a sinner and he's the Savior. I'm glad to know I got a substitute. I'm glad I figured out I couldn't be good, so I kind of quit trying. But I'm glad I found out it's not by works. I'm glad I can go in on the Lord's coattail because he was good. There's no goodness in me. I can go in because of him, what he did. I haven't done anything yet. Haven't done anything. We're going to adore his person. We're going to look at him. We might even worship. Things get down real tight there, real close together, and we're going to accept his plan. Now, last week on the handout, and if you didn't get one, there's some left over on the table out in the hall. Also, here's an overview. In the first three chapters, we're going to see the witness of the Lamb instructed. Then in 4 and 5, we're going to see the worship of the Lamb invited. We're going to start worshiping. Then in 6 through 19 is the wrath of the Lamb invoked. And it's the tribulation period, 6 through 19. He's pouring out his wrath on earth is what's going on. Chapter 20, we're going to see the reign of the Lamb instituted. Reign like a king reigns. He's coming back. He's still coming. He's still on the way. And when he comes back, he's coming back to take over. He's not going to take sides. He's not going to be a Democrat or a Republican. He's not going to be a Baptist or a Methodist. When he comes back, he's going to take over. And it's the reign of the Lamb instituted in chapter 20. And then, girls, get ready. We're going to a wedding. Chapter 21 and 22 is the wife of the Lamb introduced. He's going to lead us down the aisle on his arm and show us off for all eternity. That's what we've got to look forward to. This is the trailer. This is the advertisement getting ready for it. This is what's going to happen. Now also, the scenes in Revelation, they alternate back and forth from heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. Like chapter 1 is mostly in heaven, the first 8 verses. But then in verse 9, we get to see where John is. Revelation 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Over in verse 2, we also see who bear record of the word of God. Now, the rest of this chapter is in heaven. Verse 9 is on earth. Now, that Word of God, one more thing. You don't have to write all this down about the Word of God. I made you a handout. It'll be in the next week or two. If you want one of them, they're on my desk. Just go ahead. Dennis already stole one. You go ahead and get one if you want it. The rest of that chapter is in heaven. Chapters 2 and 3 is on earth. We're back on earth again. Chapter 4 and 5 is back in heaven. The Lamb and the throne. Chapter 6, we're back on earth. The seals of God's wrath are broken. He's pouring it out, pouring it out. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved today. I'd make sure I'd get ready. Chapter 7 and 8, we're back in heaven. You got the 144,000 looking at them. And then there's silence. The end of chapter 8 and verse 9, back on earth, we got the trumpet judgments. Chapter 10 and 11, we're back in heaven and we've got the little book that no man could open except the Lamb that was worthy. He's going to come by and he's going to open. I'm not worthy to open this up. I'm not worthy to stand up here. It's going to be the book with the 7 seals. Chapter 11, we're back on earth again with the 2 witnesses that die, lay in the street. The whole world watches them and then they raise from the dead. Chapter 11. Chapter 11, the last part of it, we're back in heaven worshiping. Chapters 12 and 13, we're back on earth, and Israel is being persecuted by the beast. Chapters 14 and 15, we're back in heaven with angel activity going on, and more about the 144,000. Chapters 16 through 18, we're back on earth, and the 7 vials are being poured out of God's wrath, and Babylon is in there. Chapter 19, we're back in heaven. The marriage of the Lamb. Like I said, girls, we're going to a wedding. 19, at the end of it, we're back on earth for the final judgments. And then 20 to 22, we're back in heaven for the last judgment. We're going to be adoring his person and accepting his plan. Now, another thing in this introduction. Last week, we read all of chapter 1. And like I said, we found 75, 76 names, titles, inferences, references to the Lord. And there's other titles for the Savior in the book of Revelation. I'll read that chapter 1 real fast. It's Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the Alpha and Omega. This is on your handout you got today. And I'm really embarrassed in verse 8, I left out the capital A, Almighty. And that's one of my favorite titles of Him. The old timers, they used to call Him the Almighty. When they prayed, they'd be praying to the Almighty. And I really like that name. Then we saw the beginning and the end, the Son of Man, the first and the last, the keepers of the keys of hell and death. Then on your handout again, let's read some of these titles. Let's look at them. In chapter 5, verse 5, this is some more of my favorites here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David. And then, let's look at that. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the capital L Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And verse 6, we see a slain lamb, a lamb that was slain. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a capital L lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. Now that's going to stand for power. We're going to talk about the number seven in a little bit. When I grew up, Daddy'd keep about 10 cows and about 20 sheep. And we borrowed a buck sheep one time, and that thing had those horns that curl around like this, like a ram. I'm telling you, that thing was mean. Me and him would fight every day. Every time I went to feed the cows, here he come trying to knock me down. And it was every day we fought, every day. And that's a sign of power, those horns. And seven of them, I come to tell you, he's all-powerful. That capital L lamb, he's got all the power there is. I mean, a locomotive's all right. The tidal wave's got a lot of power. But the big L lamb's got all the power there is. It's called omnipotent. And then we got the seven eyes right here, having seven eyes. You know what else? He can see everything. He knows everything. It's called omniscient. Omni means all. Omniscient is where we got our word science. I come to tell you, the big L, capital L lamb, he knows everything. He's got all the power there is, and that's not always everywhere. I hope he's in your heart. I hope he is. And that's the slain lamb. And then on your paper, chapter 6 says, 16 and 17 says the angry lamb. I wish I had changed that because the Bible says wrath, the wrathful lamb. I don't want this mixed up with that game the kids play, the angry birds. It's not like it. This is a wrathful lamb. Let's look at him. Verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the lamb. God's put up with us. And like I already mentioned, he's going to come back. He's going to straighten out the Democrats, but he's going to straighten out the Republicans. He's coming back to take over. He's fed up with it. He's tired of it. He's going to do what you want to do, maybe. But he's got the power to do it. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? That's the wrathful lamb. But look over in chapter 7, verse 17. Here's the tender lamb. You can get in today. He's yet tender yet today. Verse 17, 7, 17. And the big lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them. This is what we've got to look forward to. This is where we're headed. This is where we're going. This is our long home. This is where we're going to spend eternity. He's going to be feeding us and taking care of us. For the lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's going to be real good. In chapter 12, verse 5, he's the man-child. I want to go ahead and tell you, he's a man. He's a man of men. He wasn't no sissy. He wasn't no wimp. The Lord was a man. 12:5, and she brought forth a man-child. Now, I tried to teach a little home Bible study there over the, whatever it is, live stream. Every morning over in Italy, I got about seven students. And the other morning, We're going around the room reading the Bible, reading verses. Each one had a turn. And I said, okay, now let's go girls and boys, girls and boys. I said, okay, girls, this is your verse. And they read. I said, now, men, you get ready. The next verse is yours. I said, John, you get ready. And Matt, you get ready. We're going to read it together. And I heard a little two-year-old voice coming through. He said, me too. Me too. Now, he's just two, and he knows he's a man. He already knows that. He wanted to be on the side the men was on. He said, don't leave me out. Me too. And she brought forth a man child. That's what she did. 15:3. Again, on your paper, we see he's the king of the saints. And 19:11, we saw last week he's king of kings and lord of lords. Well, we might see that again today. 19:11, and I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful, big F, faithful, and big T, true. See, I'm unfaithful. And the Bible says all men are liars. I'm a liar. I'm a horse trader. But not him. He's faithful and true. Verse 19:13, and he that was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Now again, if you want that handout on my desk, we say a lot of times the written word and the living word, and that handout on my desk for next week or two, I think it lists 80 ways that the Bible and Jesus are alike. See, the theme is Jesus and the Bible, Jesus and the Bible, Jesus and the Bible, because they're equal. They're equal. I'll let you read on that how much equal. I mean, they're both holy, they're both pure, they're both king, clean. 19:16, look at here. He hath on his, we're talking about names and titles of the Savior in the book of Revelation. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, capital K, capital I, capital N, capital G, capital O, capital F. Big K, big I, big N, big G, big S. Capital A, capital N, capital D, big L, big O, big R, big D, capital O, capital F, capital L, capital R, capital D. It's the way the Lord emphasized it. I'm not going to skip over that. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's just one of his titles we're going to learn in the book of Revelation. Then in 22:13, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And I skipped on my paper again, I'm sorry. I skipped Alpha and Omega, first and last. It's not on your handout. Then 22:16. There's a lot of problems on your handout, but not in the Bible. Your Bible's perfect. Just go ahead and tell you. I want you to know you can trust your Bible. There won't be no mistakes in that. We won't be going back and correcting it. Verse 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And again, on your paper, I left off the root and offspring of David. I'm sorry about that. Now, there's some numbers that stand out in the book of Revelation. And one of them is the number 12. The number 12 speaks of government and perfection or rule. See, the sun and moon, they rule the night and the day, and they're divided up into 12 months or 12 signs in the zodiac, and there's in a complete circle in that zodiac thing, 360 degrees divided by 12, that's 30 degrees in each one, 360. And our Lord chose 12 apostles, and they were leaders in the early church. They governed the early church. And God's city, Jerusalem, we're going to read about here in Revelation. It was governed. It's got by God. It's got 12 gates, and each gate's got 12 angels. And the wall has 12 foundations, and the names of the 12 apostles in them, and the length and the breadth and the height is 12,000 furlongs. The Lord said he could have prayed for 12,000 angels to come deliver him. That's the power of the angels, the governing of the angels. Solomon had 12 officers to rule Israel when he lived, and he had 12,000 horsemen. And in around his throne, he had 12 lines down this side, two on each step, and 12 lines down this side, two on each step is what Solomon had. And in his first 30 years of his life, there's only one thing recorded about the Lord Jesus when he was 12 years old. And when they found him, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." The number 12 has to do with business and administration. In the book of Judges, there's 12 judges, and the 13th one is Abimelech, and he's an apostate, like the preacher's been telling us about. At number 7 right there, again's on your handout, and in Revelation, we're going to find that there's 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 persons, 7 vials, 7 dooms, and 7 new things. In chapter 1 that we read last week, the description of the Lord Jesus, there were 7 things. It talked about his head, his hair, his hands, his feet, his mouth, and his countenance. It was 7 things. There's 7 Beatitudes. We're going to read them a little later in the book of Revelation. Maybe today. We might get to those today. The vengeance and the wrath of God are found 7 times in the book of Revelation. The dragon's in there 13 times, and it's unlucky for him. There's 7 walls in the book of Ephesians, and there's 7 precious things in Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. In Genesis 12, when God gives Abraham the covenant, there's 7 points in the covenant. And Naaman dipped 7 times in the River Jordan. And the words "mine hour" are repeated 7 times in the book of John. 7's God's perfect number, by the way. And the righteous are spoken of 7 times in Genesis 18. And when Abraham prayed for him, God said, "Abraham, Abraham," is a double call. There's 7 people in the Bible got a double call. Abraham got one, Jacob, Samuel, Moses, Martha, Peter, and the New Testament Saul. There were 7 earthquakes. 7 men lived over 900 years old. They were Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Jared, Methuselah, and Noah, the perfect man, number 7. And his daddy lived 777 years. Lamech. There's 7 positions. You can lie down for rest. You can sit for instruction. You can stand up for welfare, walk for fellowship, run for progress, leap for exaltation, and mount up for glorification. There's 7 things to open. I can open up my hands for benevolence, either to give or receive. Either way. I can open my eyes for vision, my ears for hearing, my lips for testimony, the windows for prayer, a heart for God's message when Brother Dennis gets up here in a little bit. And then when I leave, I can open the doors for service. I don't want to bore y'all, but there's a lot of these. Maybe I'll skip one here. There's 7 certainties, 7 sobering certainties. Certainties, but there's 7 uncertainties. You cannot be certain about beauty. It'll pass. Men's promises is uncertain. Riches, the future, friendship, life, and earth's glory. I went to a ball game the other night. I don't know if 6 months from now we'll remember who won. Who won the World Series in 1980? Don't amount to much, does it? You can't count on earth's glory. There's 7 cries. Jacob had a cry for help. Moses cried for intercession. Solomon cried for wisdom. David cried for cleansing. The penitent thief, he cried for a dying soul. The Philippian jailer, he cried for salvation. And Paul cried for deliverance. There's 7 cries from the cross. There's 7 gifts from the Lord. I really believe there's more than that. But there's also, there's going to come a time when there's no more. The ills of this world will be no more. There's seven no mores when we get over to chapter 21. There'll be no more sea, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more curse, no more night, no more death. It's coming up. No more hospitals. No more cancer. No more C word. I said we'd read those Beatitudes. Let's go back to chapter 3. Or chapter 1, I mean, verse 3. The first Beatitude we read last week in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's time. There's a blessing to everyone that reads this book. There's a blessing to everyone that holds on to it. You get then the next two Beatitudes, this is for today. The next two are for during the Great Tribulation, chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed. That's a beatitude when it says blessed. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Chapter 16, verse 15 is also about the great tribulation. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And then over at chapter 19, the fourth beatitude is about Armageddon. 19:9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And then chapter 20, verse 6 is about the millennium. It's 1,000 years when the Lord lives here on earth with us, our honeymoon after the wedding. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then the last two are about the celestial city. Chapter 22, verse 7. Our last two Beatitudes. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth, here we go again, keepeth the saying of the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Let's go back to chapter 1 now. We're still introducing, still looking at what's going to happen. Starting in verse 2, I think we read 3, didn't we? Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Now the Lord, like we said, he knows everything. The present and the future are the same to him. The past, he knows it all. He's omniscient. There was a preacher walking through the country in England one day, and he met up with a gypsy woman. And she said, cross my palm with silver, and I'll tell you what you'll be doing this time tomorrow. He said, you mean to say if I give you a silver coin, if I pay you, you'll tell my future. Tell me what I'll be doing tomorrow. She said, yes. He said, I tell you what, if you'll tell me what I was doing yesterday, I'll give you 2 coins. And she just had to hang her head and leave. No one can do that. Forget about the horoscope. Forget about Ann Landers. Just go ahead and go with this. We can count on that. The Lord knows. There was a missionary in Africa walking through. Let me read verse 5 here. I keep getting ahead of myself. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That he loved us. I never got over that part yet. I can't comprehend that he loved me and made a way. He knew I was a filthy wretch, a filthy sinner, not worth hanging. And he said, I'm going to make a plan. He said, I'm going to make a plan so Rick can get in, so he can be in the family, so he can be Brother Rick. This missionary was walking in Africa through a place where a forest fire had come through like a day or two before. And he saw something there and he kicked it, and it was a dead hen. And when he kicked it, out from under her come all the little chicks. She'd gathered them in and they were all safe. And that's mother's love. That's creature's love. That's what a creature will do. But this is Calvary's love right here. It goes beyond my deepest sin, beyond all my faults and failures. It's Calvary love. That's what we're going to be looking at. That's what we're going to be looking at. Let's read a little bit more here in verse 6. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He didn't just love us. He made us kings and priests. Now you can go straight into the Holy of Holies, in the holy place. You don't have to go through a man on earth. You can go straight in and talk to God. One, two, three times a day. It's up to you. However many times you want to. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. That's amazing, isn't it? And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the capital A Almighty. Hey, he's still coming. He's still coming. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.